This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Crank the tank. Cade Cunningham, here we come, as the Rockets are now just a half game back of being one of the bottom three records in the entire NBA as they lose their ninth straight game against the Cleveland Cavaliers by a final score of 112-96, falling to 11-19 on the season. Nine straight losses in the absence of Christian Wood. What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian, covering the Rockets for ESPN 97.5 and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, at ESPN 975, and at Apollo HOU. I was a little kidding in the beginning with the tanking stuff, although we will talk in segment three about the questions kind of facing this Rockets team, this organization, and the direction. And I think that's such a key component, is this team needs a true direction that they are going in. And right now it feels like they've been kind of caught in no man's land somewhat since the James Harden trade. And then, you know, Christian Wood goes down to injury. They try to, you know, combat the injury and try to continue to tread water, and they have not been able to tread water whatsoever. So finding a clear-cut direction for this team is something we're going to talk about in the third segment. But first, let's go ahead and talk about this game. So Victor Oladipo, PJ Tucker, you know, back in the mix of things, and wish I could say that it was nice to have them back, but that's just not where we're going, or not how this game went, unfortunately. Now, it's worth pointing out that the last time that the Rockets played in Cleveland was when RGV Vipers legend Kevin Porter Jr. actually went off on the Rockets. So that's a fun little trip down memory lane here. But you know, in this one, obviously still no Christian Wood, so the Rockets electing to start with that small ball lineup, and John Wall going so far as to say post-game that he doesn't like the small ball lineup, that he prefers to play with a rim-running big in the game, and that's something that we'll touch base on a little bit more later on. But if I had to pick the Rockets player of the game from this one, I'm going to actually give that honor. It was kind of a toss-up to me between David Nwaba and Daniel House Jr. I'm going to give it to Daniel House Jr., and he's taking the edge because he had that incredible poster on JaVale McGee, which was like the one highlight from the game, unfortunately, for the Rockets, given how it turned out and racking up that ninth straight loss. But he had a really decent all-around game, struggled a little bit inside the arc shooting the ball, but shot 2 of 5 outside the arc on the way to 14 points, had 5 rebounds, had 3 assists, had 3 blocks, a team-high 3 blocks in this game, was playing some really solid defense. And I think that, you know, this is something I spoke about with Cody Davis in our most recent episode, the fact that even when Daniel House has struggled offensively, he's still a good defensive player. He's lengthy, he's athletic, he's developed some good defensive instincts over the years. You know, having him out there is nice. And when he's bringing you what he's supposed to bring you offensively as that, you know, really 3-and-D caliber guy who's also, you know, athletic enough to, you know, play off the bounce a little bit, drive, attack the rim, really get out in transition, that kind of thing. That's when he's at his best. And so having Daniel House kind of having him back these past couple of games has been nice, seeing him kind of get back into his groove a little bit, because he definitely was struggling to shoot the ball there for a while, as was everybody else on the team, apparently. So just having him back's been nice. He's the player of the game. I'm going to give that honor to him in this one. But I do want to talk about him a little bit more thoroughly, as well as David Nwaba, in the in the second segment, because we're going to talk about the bright spots for this Rockets team, and we're also going to talk about the worst player from this game. And if you can't figure out who that is yet, then we'll get there in just a moment. But kind of circling back, you know, covering the it's not the wowie factor without Christian Wood. Reminder, when they're playing without Christian Wood, but they do have John Wall, Victor Oladipo, and Eric Gordon, it is the owie factor. And the owie factor scored 54 points, but did so on only 20 of 52 shooting. So sub 40% shooting combined for John Wall, Victor Oladipo, and Eric Gordon, who largely, they just had some pretty inefficient games, unfortunately. John Wall was pretty effective from behind the arc, shooting 3 of 6, but you know, on his way to 20 points, had a rebound, had a few assists, had a couple steals, had a couple blocks, but just shot 7 of 18 inside the arc. Victor Oladipo, 8 of 20 overall, just a paltry 1 of 8 from behind the arc on the way to his 17 points. Also grabbed 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and a couple steals. And then Eric Gordon returning to his bench role now that Victor Oladipo was back in the starting lineup, had 17 points on just 5 of 14 shooting, only 2 of 7 from behind the arc, had a couple of assists, had a couple steals. So that was kind of the big three, or again, the owie factor for the Rockets in this game. Now from the Cavs angle, the Cavs managed to have 6 players score in double figures. Jarrett Allen leading the way. And this is the problem with small ball. And this is the problem with running it for extended periods, is it makes opposing bigs look like Wilt frickin' Chamberlain playing against the Rockets. And I hate it. I really do. You can get away with running small ball in short bursts throughout a game to gain a competitive advantage situationally and for, again, short windows of time, and especially against second units where you don't have these, you know, dominant athletic bigs who can take advantage of a smaller lineup. But Jared Allen posted 26 points, 18 rebounds, had a pair of assists, shot 10 of 11 from the floor. He hit a 3, probably didn't need to, because he was getting literally everything that he wanted in the paint. And again, this is just a side effect of playing small, is if you're playing against a big who knows how to take advantage of it, who knows how to use his size, his athleticism, his height to his advantage, you're going to have a bad time. And we saw this so frequently with the Rockets. You know, I think back to, I still get PTSD flashbacks to the beginning of the 2019-2020 season. Opening night, the Rockets are playing against the Milwaukee Bucks. Obviously, there's still a lot of salt in the air surrounding, you know, Giannis winning the MVP over James Harden, all that stuff, right? Tail end of the game rolls around, and Mike D'Antoni decides to play small and play PJ Tucker at the 5 spot, rather than putting Clint Capella back out on the floor. And PJ Tucker got just manhandled by Brook Lopez down low. They didn't even go to Giannis down the stretch of that game. They went to Brook freaking Lopez down the stretch of that game, because all he had to do, it was toss the ball into the 7-footer and let him make little baby hook shots over 6'5 PJ Tucker. And so, yes, there's definitely areas where playing small can give you a competitive advantage, but you have to figure out where those spots are and pick and choose them accordingly. And right now, without Christian Wood, this Rockets team is being hamstrung into playing small, and it is just absolutely frustrating, because PJ Tucker's also been having a down year across the board, career lows in so many different categories. And so I do want to talk about him in just a moment, but just to kind of wrap up from the Cavs side, Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. Garland actually had a pretty quiet game in this one, but Sexton kind of found his shot a little bit more in the second half on his way to 23 points, just 9 of 19 shooting, 3 of 8 from behind the arc. And then Garland, just 11 points. He was actually, again, pretty quiet in this one. 11 points on only 4 of 14 shooting. Rockets actually did a pretty decent job on him in this game. In addition to talking about PJ Tucker and Daniel House Jr. coming up in just a moment, and David Nwaba as well, as some of the couple of the bright spots from this game. And actually, I do want to talk about Patton, too. He's on my notes as well. I want to talk about them, but I also want to, coming up, wrap up the the kind of the where this game fell apart truly for the Rockets, because it was that fourth quarter stretch, and I'm going to kind of highlight that stretch in the game. Ran out of a little bit of time here in this segment, but first want to drop in a quick message from our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL are all in full swing. Look, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They give you real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's 100% free to sign up. So head over to their website and sign up today to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKED. On. That's LOCKEDON. Again, for a 50% welcome bonus with your very first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Did you know, look, you can get more of the sports news that you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast, wherever you listen to this podcast. Do me a favor, hit that subscribe button. So I have it pulled up over here in one of my 17 gajillion Chrome tabs. Where'd it go? Let's see. There it is. Okay. So the point in this game, you know, so the Rockets, they led at halftime, you know, and credit to the Rockets. I do have to give them a little bit of credit. They had a really strong second quarter push. So after trailing by as many as 11 points in the early going, they came back. They had a 33-21 second quarter, and they led by two going into halftime, 50-48. That's awesome. That's great. The problem with this team has been the inconsistency. It's because they seemingly can, like, they get their act together for a quarter or two quarters or half a game, or the, you know, the first half is great and the second half is garbage, or then you flip that. And that's the problem, is there's just no consistency with this team. And I think that, and again, for those of you who are sick of hearing it, deal with it, because I'm going to keep bringing it up. That's what sucks about missing Christian Wood, is he is that really consistent element. And Eric Gordon and John Wall had been pretty consistent up until these past couple games, and the issues surrounding the rest of the team, you know, the other guys in and out of the lineup, the inconsistencies with some of the other role players, that is, you know, what had been plaguing the game over the first part of that losing streak. And now we're kind of seeing it where John Wall's had some inconsistencies. Eric Gordon isn't, you know, putting up those 20 plus point games anymore on really good efficiency. You know, he's had a couple down games in a row now. And so not having Christian Wood out there as that stabilizing element, both offensively and defensively, has absolutely taken its toll on this team. And so let's dive into this little breakdown of the play-by-play and where this game really fell apart, because this game was a two possession game with a little over, a little over 9 minutes in the fourth quarter. And it was a three-pointer. So it was a five-point swing where Eric Gordon missed a layup, and it came back down on the other end. And then where'd it go? Hang on. There it goes. Okay, so I apologize. It was 83-86 with a little under 8 minutes to go, and Eric Gordon missed that layup driving to the rim. And then the Cavs come right back down on the very next possession, and Dean Wade cans a three-pointer. And so that pushes the lead to 9 for the Cavs. And so that was like the danger territory for the Rockets, where, you know, suddenly the lead is extended. You're in danger of falling down by double digits again. And then it was just salt in the wound as Eric Gordon came back down, missed another shot, so missed a three-point attempt to try and get it back, cut it back down to 6, and then the Cavs come back down, and Wendler hit a three-point shot on the very next possession for the Cavs, and that led to a Rockets timeout. So they're down 12, 95-83, and from there, the Cavs just pretty much coasted to the finish line. I mean, you know, there was not a serious push left in the Rockets to finish off that game. And it's that five-point swing where they were just so close. And, you know, an ill-advised Eric Gordon three-pointer from multiple steps behind the three-point line. Look, even though Eric had been, you know, largely consistent up until these last couple games for the Rockets this season. And he's had a really good season. I'll give him that credit for sure. He still takes some of the most questionable shots that I've ever seen on the basketball court. Like, they're just not within the flow of the offense. Like, he just, you know, willingly, you know, fires up these, you know, 26, 27 foot three-point bombs early in the shot clock with no effort to, you know, try and get a better look for, you know, for one of his teammates or to try and let the ball move around a little bit. And I think those are probably some of the possessions that frustrate Steven Silas the most, is when there's minimal ball movement, when there's just isolation play, when they're not, you know, actively trying to screen for one another and then, you know, get the defense, you know, on its heels a little bit, getting downhill off of some dribble handoff plays, things like that. We've seen areas where this offense has looked really great and nearly unstoppable. And part of that is just when guys are hitting their shots, obviously the offense is going to look a little bit better. But even still, there's a difference between a good three-pointer and a bad three-pointer. And it feels like in this game, the Rockets took a lot of bad three-pointers. And it doesn't help the fact that the good three-pointers that they're generating, they're still not hitting them at a high clip. I think Kelly Eco had a piece the other day for The Athletic, and he highlighted the fact that the Rockets are generating like 41% of their shots are being generated, you know, behind the three-point line, or they're generating, you know, open, you know, 41% open three-point looks behind the three-point line, but they're only converting on 28% of them, or some staggering statistic like that. And it matches the eye test. This team is generating good looks on occasion. Like, it's not like they're just having this really terrible offense and they're not generating quality looks, they're not moving the ball around. They have stretches where the offense is doing everything that it can do in the absence of Christian Wood to generate quality shots for themselves and for their teammates, but they're just not converting on them. And again, it's frustrating because it gets really close to the old, you know, we got the shots we wanted mantra, but it really is sometimes just that. They're generating quality looks and then they're just not hitting them. But there's a difference between a quality look and an Eric Gordon 28 footer. I will just throw that disclaimer out there. So wanted to highlight that area of the game in the fourth quarter where they did kind of just crumble right around that 8 minute mark of the fourth quarter. And then the Cavs didn't have to, you know, didn't have to check the rearview mirror the rest of the way. They were able to just coast. But wanted to, you know, I kind of already spoke about Daniel House Jr., and I'm happy for his somewhat resurgence, you know, coming back and getting back into the flow of things, looking a bit more comfortable out there. Not being in a shooting slump is probably pretty nice for him. He's been, you know, it's been a sight for sore eyes these past couple games with Daniel House, I'll say that much. But David Nwaba continues to have some really impressive outings, you know, in a game where the bench of this game, the Rockets bench, really felt like their presence was much needed in this one. And I, again, it gets back to the old, to the argument that I was having with Cody Davis, or the, not the argument, the debate that I was having with Cody Davis about, does David Nwaba deserve a spot in the starting lineup? Can his energy translate to the starting lineup so that this team doesn't get off to these ridiculously slow starts and burying themselves in a deficit early? And this game kind of matched the eye test where that Rockets bench unit, as Steven Silas started to inject some of the bench unit guys, David Nwaba, Sterling Brown, Justin Patton, Eric Gordon, even though he was a little bit, you know, less efficient than you'd like him to be offensively, when he starts putting in those bench units, that's when this team is able to kind of make their runs and really get back into these games. And we've seen that over the course of this 9-game losing streak where the Rockets bench, when they have, you know, most of their bench guys there, and I'm really focused on David Nwaba and Sterling Brown of that kind of tandem bench unit. When those two guys step into the game, they change the feel of the game. They really do. And I think a large part of that really is the intensity and energy that David Nwaba brings and the utility that Sterling Brown brings, because he's not, you know, he's capable of handling the basketball. He's been shooting at a very high clip from behind the arc. He plays with, you know, maybe not quite as much hustle or huffert as David Nwaba does, but, you know, that tandem duo off the bench kind of changes the pace and the flow of the game for the Rockets. So my question is, why has Silas not realized that yet? Why does he not either A, ride with those guys longer, David Nwaba only playing 17 minutes and Sterling Brown only playing 19 minutes in this game? Why has he not considered changing his substitution patterns around, getting those guys injected in for more life early in the game if he sees the team struggling. These are some of the questions that I have with Steven Silas. You know, I'm not ready to condemn the guy. He's dealing with a lot. And I think that anybody who is, you know, calling for the head of Steven Silas is deluded in thinking that any team with this number of injury issues, guys in and out of the lineups, just inconsistency across the board. And not only that, but, you know, a team that's facing, you know, massive overhaul after trading somebody who was their franchise guy for 8 years. I want to circle back to what my thoughts were immediately after the James Harden trade. All the expectations for this team went out the window as soon as James Harden was traded. And I think that's important to remember. I think a lot of people have gotten caught up in, you know, wanting to remain competitive or wanting to tank or, you know, and trying to, you know, and I guess for the people who are still hell-bent on this team being competitive and you know, turning it around in the second half of the season and grinding it out to, you know, a play-in tournament game to the ninth or the tenth seed and, you know, to just have a shot to maybe make it into the playoffs. Shout out Andrew Sukup, who, you know, wanted me to highlight sunk cost fallacy, which we will absolutely do in the third segment here. Want to talk about that and kind of what that means in relation to these Houston Rockets, who we cheer for on a nightly basis and who we have unfortunately watched go down this 9-game slide. But basically, where we're at with this team is a crossroads where they have some very important decisions to make about the direction that they want to take this team. And I think the first domino that really needs to be addressed, and, you know, I was going to do it in this segment, but as per usual, I found myself down a rabbit hole. So I'll push it back and we'll talk about PJ Tucker in segment 3. But they've got some decisions that they've got to make. They need a clear-cut direction for the franchise, and I think that's what we're going to talk about, that and PJ Tucker and a couple other things in this final segment. But first, a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now almost impossible to stock all the parts that you need in a traditional chain storefront. But rockauto.com has everything available, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything that you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, look, the rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. And did I talk about the prices yet? Best of all, rockauto.com's prices are always reliably low, and they're the exact same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you want to spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the really important part, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Do me a favor, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the podcast. I don't know why you'd be listening to it and not already subscribe, but if you're not subscribed, that'd be super cool. And hey, if you know other Rockets fans, you know, people in your family who love the Rockets, do me a favor, shoot them the podcast. Say, hey, I listen to this guy a lot and he seems pretty chill. He's not afraid to call out the Rockets when he needs to and tries to call it how he sees it. If you enjoy this podcast in any capacity, I would greatly appreciate it if you help spread the word around, because that's how we keep this podcast going strong. We get more people listening to it, and then, hey, maybe one day I can do this full time rather than juggling a bakery off on the side, right? So anyways, let's talk PJ Tucker here for a second, because PJ Tucker is having a really bad year. And there's not really a nice way to put it. He's just, and I think it's got to be tough for a guy in Tucker's position, 35 years old, who, you know, has spent the better part of the last few seasons playing on, a would-be championship contender alongside, you know, an MVP caliber player in James Harden, who he got very, very close to. He and James Harden are very tight. Then going into this new dynamic where Harden is gone, where Eric Gordon is the only guy that, you know, he's, you know, had any, spent any significant time with over these past few seasons. And PJ Tucker even talking about the fact that, you know, I think he said on record in an interview, you know, Gordy don't talk a lot. So it's not like Eric Gordon's a very vocal guy. So, you know, PJ Tucker may be feeling a little isolated, you know, alone in this new look Rockets team. And, you know, obviously still doesn't have a contract extension. Honestly, it's looking like a good thing that the Rockets didn't extend him because, again, he's having a really down year. And maybe he's having a down year because he's not motivated to play well, right? Like, it's, you know, he's not playing, he's realistically not playing for anything right now. And he's probably got his eyes set on the future when he's able to get to a team that is playing for a championship, that is contending, that is, you know, back in the mold of what he probably envisions for his career, you know, trying to win a title to kind of cap off what, you know, what he wants to do with his career. But at this point, he's an issue for the Rockets. He just is. He doesn't bring enough defensively to warrant the absolute black hole that he has become on offense. At BeamaThug, David Weiner on Twitter highlighted the fact that PJ Tucker's corner three-point shooting has become exclusively like swing passes to the next man. And I think that's hilarious because it feels so true. Like, it just feels like PJ Tucker has no interest in anything offensively. He's just out there, you know, filling a spot in the corner and, you know, he's just going, you know, the Marshawn Lynch route, right? He's just here so he doesn't get fined, almost. PJ Tucker and I, myself, Jackson Gatlin, host of this podcast, have scored the same number of points in 9 games this NBA season. PJ Tucker has recorded a goose egg in 9 games out of the 28 games that he has played this season. You know how many times he did that the season prior, last season? Only 7. The season before that, 6 times. Like, obviously, as a role player, and especially a role player, you know, in the mold of PJ Tucker, you're not going to go out there and tear it up every single night. But recording straight goose eggs, and as many times and as frequently as he has done it this season specifically, it's just too much. Again, his niche role of being that corner three-point specialist and, you know, defensive anchor, and I'm not even sure if you can truly call him a defensive anchor anymore. He's definitely lost a little bit of a step there. He's still serviceable on that side. He's still got great defensive instincts and, you know, he's still a great communicator, all that. I'm not trying to take any of that away from him, but he's definitely lost a little bit of a step. He just doesn't fit what the Rockets need because they cannot generate as many wide open corner threes as they previously were able to with the gravity of James Harden and Russell Westbrook. That's just not a thing anymore. And it's not like you can have PJ Tucker running baseline to baseline to try and, you know, get catch and shoot 3-point opportunities like a Klay Thompson or something. That's just not who he is as a player. So I'm completely ready for the Rockets to move on from him, and I'm frustrated by the fact that he continues to start. I wonder if Christian Wood comes back before the All-Star break. And I say if, because I've got another point I want to build on from this, but if Christian Wood is back before the All-Star break, I wonder if PJ Tucker remains in the starting lineup or if they sit PJ Tucker and continue to start Jayshon Tate and Daniel House Jr. That's what I would like to see happen, barring any, you know, changes with the roster due to trades. But I think that we're at this point where PJ Tucker is getting the starting nod almost out of respect from Steven Silas and, you know, for what he's done for this organization. But the Rockets need to just rip the Band-Aid off and move on from PJ Tucker. When Tucker was out for those 2 games against the Wizards and against Philadelphia, the offense at least looked a little bit more fluid at times, not having him out there, because again, PJ Tucker touches the ball and it's immediately almost like hot potato where he just wants to find a way to get rid of it and go relocate in the corner. And the gravity that he gives you by standing in the corner just isn't enough anymore. Like, the Rockets need all 5 of their guys out there on the court. When you don't have a James Harden out there or a LeBron James or a Luka Doncic or a Giannis Antetokounmpo or whatever, when you don't have one of those top-tier elite guys out there on the court, you need all 5 guys to be able to be contributors in some way offensively. And when you have one guy who is as limited as PJ Tucker is offensively, it leads to offensive hiccups. It leads to bad possessions. It leads to, oh, PJ Tucker's got the ball in the corner. He needs to find an outlet for Eric Gordon or Wall or whoever. There's 5 seconds left on the shot clock. Oh, here comes a rushed, hurried 3-pointer because, you know, it's a bad offensive set because they swung the ball to PJ Tucker and he didn't have a wide open corner three, and that's all he's capable of doing offensively. I'm being a little harsh on PJ, but it's time. Like, the, you know, that's where we're at. That's where this team is at. They need to move on from PJ Tucker. And that's firmly where I'm rooted right now. And back on that Christian Wood front, before I dive into sunk cost fallacy about this team, on the front of Christian Wood, I firmly believe that we wouldn't see him back in a Rockets jersey and on the court before the All-Star break. And the only reason I was moved away from that belief was because Christian Wood himself went on Instagram and said that he was going to be back soon and back, you know, and conceivably that meant back before the All-Star break. And so I think that with where this team is headed, the 9-game losing streak, and how rough things have looked to this point, I don't want to see Christian Wood back before the All-Star break. I don't want to see him rush back. I don't want to see him, you know, I would much rather him get that extra week or, you know, 10 days of rest rather than trying to come back just to lose two or three more games before the All-Star break. Because let's face it, when Christian Wood comes back after missing this extended period of time, he's going to be a little rusty. It's going to take a little time for him to get, you know, factored back in. And I don't think him coming back is just going to immediately switch a flip for this team. Switch a flip. Wow. Flip a switch. I hate that phrase. I flip it up all the time. Hat flip. Anyways, I don't think him coming back is suddenly going to ignite this team and catapult them back into how well they were playing before he went down to injury. I think there was a level of the team had finally found a little bit of consistency. They were gelling, and it takes time to get back to that point. And I'd much rather Christian Wood be healthy over the All-Star break, get that extra week of rest, focus on getting practice reps in with the team, because this is a team that absolutely has had very minimal practice time and they're just learning things on the fly consistently. And I'm sure that's got to be frustrating and aggravating for Steven Silas to not be able to have some legitimate practices to get down and really hammer home some of the ideas and philosophies that he wants to instill with this team. That's got to be troublesome. So I'd much rather them spend the All-Star break doing that, just carry this losing streak into the All-Star break if we have to. It sucks to say that, but that's just kind of where we're at. And from that point, that's where I think this franchise is faced with some pretty big decisions heading you know, into the All-Star break and immediately right after the All-Star break with the trade deadline right around the corner, March 25th. What direction does this team take? And I think it's evident that I would much rather see this team focus on developing the young players, developing the youth in this lineup, rather than trying to maintain some semblance of competitiveness with these veterans who are, you know, potentially not even invested in what this team is trying to accomplish. And I say that to, I guess we'll focus on what this sunk cost fallacy is, right? So it's when you stick with a decision because you've already, you know, you've already dedicated yourself to it. You're basically, oh, well, we already decided we're going this direction and we don't want to turn around now because we've already gone too far, because we've already attempted to, you know, we've already gone down this path. There's no point in turning around. We might as well see it through to the end. No. The Rockets can absolutely decide that remaining competitive for the remainder of the season isn't in the best interest of the franchise. And again, I'm not advocating for a full-blown tank, but what they're doing right now is organically tanking because they're just not good enough without Christian Wood. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe Christian Wood comes back and this team turns it around and they look night and day different with him out there. I think they're absolutely going to take a leap with him out there, but I think that ultimately, I would like to see less minutes for any and all remaining veterans on this team after the All-Star break. Now, whether that means John Wall, Gordon, Oladipo, Tucker, whoever's still here, I don't want to see those guys getting regular starters minutes. I want to see Kevin Porter Jr. and KJ Martin Jr. brought up from the G League. I want to see the young guys getting consistent burn. I want to see if Mason Jones can prove me wrong, because I don't want to say jury's still out on him. I think he's going to be a bust. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope that Mason Jones goes out and proves me wrong, but I don't see him being able to carve out a consistent spot in the NBA if he can't reliably create his own shot as a guard. And that's been my biggest knock on his game in the limited amount of time that we've seen him, is it looks like it's really difficult for him to get to his spots and create his own looks. He's got good court vision. I feel like he's lacking a little bit of speed and athleticism at the guard spot. And I even early on, I advocated maybe playing Mason Jones as a forward, right? Play him at the small forward spot as a three so that he isn't, you know, having to be out, you know, having to play out there as a guard. And then that also would potentially unlock even more things for your lineup. Having somebody with his shooting touch in the three spot, as well as his playmaking ability, could do wonders for this team. And he's kind of a bigger guard anyway, so he could get away with playing the three spot. So, you know, but I hope Mason Jones proves me wrong. I want to see this Rockets team focus on the youth movement. I want to see them get these younger guys consistent burn. I don't want to see these, you know, veteran players, you know, racking up 30, 35 plus minutes a night in some hope that the Rockets can grind out a play-in tournament seed and maybe make it to the first round and play against the Utah Jazz or, you know, probably the Jazz if they make it to the eighth seed. That's not where my eyes are set for this team. And I think a lot of people are also feeling the same way about this. And the best part is they do have some youth. They do have exciting young players who we can continue to watch develop and grow. Watching Christian Wood when he comes back, watching him continue to blossom into a star is going to be incredible. Seeing the progression of Jae'Sean Tate on this team is going to be phenomenal. Watching Kevin Porter Jr. tear up. This is the first season in years that I've watched G League games with consistency. And it's because Kevin Porter Jr. and KJ Martin are exciting young players. It's great to see them tearing up the G League, and it's going to be fun to watch them be brought back up with the Rockets in the second half of the season, which it sounds like that is what the plan is that after the G League bubble concludes, after the bubble concludes, which I believe, unless I'm mistaken, I think it's March 5th is when the bubble is going to be wrapped up. When the bubble concludes, the Rockets plan to bring KPJ and Kevin Martin Jr., KJ Martin Jr., up to the NBA level and keep them with the team so that they can have that full-blown roster of 17 available players. Now, the problem is are they just doing that so that they can have those guys as extra bodies on the nights where John Wall sits out or Depot sits out or Eric Gordon sits out? If that's the case, I'm going to be a little frustrated. I want to see those guys get some regular playing time in the rotation, genuinely. Because, again, there's not a reason, I think, in my mind, for this team to try and compete for that bottom-tier seed. I think that if this team were to just spend time developing the youth, they're going to go into more of an organic tank, as I've been advocating, and they'll find themselves as one of the bottom teams in the league. And then guess what? Fade for Cade. Crash for Cade. Crank the tank. And that would be a pretty incredible way to bounce back from the James Harden era is to, one, to retain the pick from the pick swap in the Oklahoma City Thunder trade. That would be incredible. If you finish top four and you get to keep the pick, that would be just such a godsend for this team because that trade had it's currently still lingering and we'll see how it all plays out, but that trade has cast a shadow over this franchise for the foreseeable future. So if you're able to kind of reclaim a little bit of that, you know, that trade by recouping your draft pick by falling into the top four, that's great. And I think that some people are going to point out the percentages. It's only a 52% chance to land in the top four. Yeah, that's scary, but that's the gamble that you've got to take. Because if I have to gamble, and here's where I'm at, is if I had to choose for the Rockets to gamble on a potentially generational talent like Cunningham or like Suggs in this draft versus competing and trying to, you know, grind out a play-in tournament slot just for the sake of, you know, saying that, yeah, we stayed competitive, we did it, you know, whatever. There's just not a reason to do that. And I knew that I was going to, you know, kind of be reevaluating this team as we approached the All-Star break and that this stretch without Christian Wood was going to dictate how I felt about the direction of this team. And that's where I currently stand, is this team has lost a lot of games, and yes, there's still a big chunk of the season left to be played, but the second half of the season for the Rockets is brutal. If you haven't looked at the schedule release, go check it out. It is painful. The Rockets have 10 back-to-backs in the second half of the season, and they have a gauntlet stretch at the tail end where they go through, like, Milwaukee, the Clippers, I think the Lakers? I don't even have it pulled up right now. But they have a gauntlet at the very tail end of the season where they go through like four or five or six really tough teams. And I find it hard to envision a a future for this Rockets team, at least in this season, where they're able to overcome the obstacles that have already been placed in front of them and somehow grind it out and get to the playoffs and make it worth everybody's while. I'd much rather see them organically tank, focus on developing the youth, allow Steven Silas the chance to coach some of these younger guys who are probably just excited to be hitting the court in an NBA game, because let's face it, I think PJ Tucker's been playing with a distinct lack of his usual gusto and energy. Same can maybe be said for Eric Gordon. I'm sure John Wall has been a little bit dejected about this 9-game losing streak. And I'm sure some of the veterans, you know, I hope that Steven Silas hasn't necessarily lost the locker room, but giving an opportunity to some of the younger guys that this Rockets team has available could do wonders. Could inject some life into what's going on out there and make things a little bit more bearable for us, the fans, to watch this team grow and develop. So that's kind of my final thoughts on everything. I guess I have officially turned to the dark side and am advocating for the team to go ahead and tank away the season. But organically tank. There's a difference. Organically tank, focus on developing the youth, become sellers at the trade deadline. That's pretty much where my head is at right now. And hey, maybe they change my mind further down the line. I am a human being and I'm capable of flip-flopping on a decision. But right now, that's my best case scenario for this Rockets team and just seeing how the young guys develop over the course of the remainder of this season. So for today's episode, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.